This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
So if you're on Twitter and you follow Wisconsin News, you've probably heard of UW Education Policy Professor Sarah Goldrick-Rabb. She has a reputation as a prolific tweeter, and she's been a lightning rod for both devotion and criticism. Her public battle with policy leaders over changes to the UW system's tenure system was covered in the New York Times. After criticism that she'd crossed a line by seeking out incoming UW students on Twitter to make her case against the tenure changes.
On the other hand, her reputation for taking an active stance to make real-world changes based on solid research has drawn praise, earned her a national reputation among students and faculty. Some of her best-known passions include the mission to make college affordable and universal public higher education. In that work, she identified as a scholar activist, and she teaches a course on the subject.
Sarah Goldrick-Rabb joins us now. She's a professor of educational policy studies and sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and she's the founder of the Wisconsin Hope Lab on college affordability. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Well, there's a quote on your Twitter page that I want to start with, and it says, "I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept." How does that kind of sum up the last year for you and your fight against these tenure changes we were talking about, and also the coming years and your push for college affordability?
Well, first of all, that's a quote from Angela Davis, who's actually one of my heroes. I would say that, you know, what the last year has been about is doing something about the world that we're all confronting today, which is accompanied and characterized by a lot of changes to our lives here in Wisconsin that many of us have felt powerless over. And it's pretty common to watch things go by, watch political decisions, watch changes about our jobs and our families' lives happen and feel like we don't have input into it. And I felt that it was time to stand up and make our opinions known about what has been going on in this state, which I think many of the decisions don't actually reflect the preferences of the families around the state. And so in this case, you know, over the last year, I have been speaking out about our right to an affordable higher education in the state, something I know people care about, and our right as educators to interact with our students on a fair and open and honest basis, which is something that requires tenure.
So is that, in essence, do you think what it means for you to be a scholar activist, or is that what it just means to you to be a citizen?
I think it's both. I think that's a really good question, although I think that sometimes professors are assumed to be public figures who aren't allowed to have private lives as citizens. You know, scholar activism to me, in a sense, is just calling out what a true scholar has always been about, which is about learning about the world, studying the world, and then taking that knowledge and using it to try to improve people's lives. In other words, acting on what we've learned. And that's exactly what I've been trying to do for the past 11 years here in Wisconsin. I take very seriously the idea that my work is important and is funded by the taxpayers of the state precisely because it is meant to be translated into things that can improve their lives. And one of those things is making college more affordable and accessible.
And going back to last year now, it was an intense year for you. In lots of ways, you were a mouthpiece, one of several, but a mouthpiece for the fight against UW System's tenure changes. You were on Twitter a lot. There was a prolific Twitter account going on with you, and you were very vocal, as you said, about how you felt. What was your relationship with Twitter back then, and did it accomplish what you wanted to, short of actually, I guess, reversing those tenure changes?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter can serve, for those of you who are not on it, it's important to know it can serve a couple of different mechanisms. And in many ways, what it tries to do are things you do in your regular life anyway, but you're doing it on a bigger scale. So, for example, I'm certain that everyone has experienced walking around somewhere and somebody hands you a flyer. And what that flyer is a piece of paper containing information that the person handing it to you wants you to know about. Tweeting can be similar to flyering, meaning, hey, Veronica, I want you to know about this, and I send you a link. Right? That's one form of tweeting. Another form of tweeting is a conversational form where you're having a back and forth discussion with someone else. And while you could do that with your neighbor, what Twitter allows you to do is essentially broaden the set of neighbors that you could have conversations with, because you can do it with lots of different people, including people you wouldn't normally get to meet. What I was trying to do around the tenure issue was both things. Number one, I was trying to essentially flyer the world with information about the fact that there were major changes happening to tenure in Wisconsin that affected our lives, the people of the state, and frankly, professors all over the country and the students they educate. I was also trying to have conversations with people about it, because I believe, as an educator, that we learn through conversation. And both of those things were happening at once.
We're talking with UW's Sarah Goldrick-Rabb right now. She's a professor of educational policy studies and sociology here at UW-Madison, and she's also the founder of the Wisconsin Hope Lab on college affordability. Now, looking back again at that kind of maelstrom of last year, you were the center of a lot of media attention. Some of that was critical. I've read that your staff was threatened. People actually said mean stuff about your hair. How did that change what it felt like to you to be a prominent faculty member at UW?
To be honest, I can't say that it didn't hurt. I wouldn't be human if I said it didn't hurt. At the same time, you know, taking a stand on an issue always makes you subject to critique. And I think it's better to have aired concerns on this topic, a topic that has, become just so important to the lives of so many people, than to have said nothing at all. It was disheartening to me at an institution that prides itself on being a home to what we call sifting and winnowing, meaning discussion about anything and everything with the attempt to get to the truth. It was disheartening to feel that my right to have that opinion and to air that opinion, both in terms of conversation and in terms of equivalent of leafleting or flyering by sending out information, that was not fully supported by the administration here or by the faculty here.
Now, moving on, that's, you know, more or less behind you. You're carrying some of it with you, but you're focusing a lot now on the work of the Hope Lab and those issues of college affordability, and you've been calling for universal public higher education. How are you using your stance now as a scholar activist, like we were talking about, to urge change in that direction?
Well, I have been speaking with Wisconsin families now for more than a decade about their concerns about the high and rising price of college. And to be honest, even the discussion about tenure is a discussion about affordability. One of the reasons tenure is so important is that faculty have to be able to speak out when administrators are making changes to the institution that make it more expensive. I have been speaking out about my concerns about UW-Madison's changes, including raising tuition and its rising cost of attendance, for years. And it's been one of the reasons tenure has been so important. So this actually isn't a change for me. It's a continuation of continuing to try to represent the interests of Wisconsin families in making college more affordable. The Wisconsin Hope Lab is an effort to find the best ways to do that. And what we can tell from listening to students and families is that the current system is not doing its job. It can't accomplish the goals it was set out to do. And I'm trying to say very clearly to folks that it's time to take seriously how broken this system is, and to do something about it. It's hard to shake people from the status quo. It's hard to convince people it is possible to pay for education in a different manner that can make it all less expensive for us on an individual basis. But we have to try, because so many people out there are being locked out of opportunities for education, not because they lack talent, but because they lack money.
Well, the governor recently put out a package of bills for improving college affordability. It had things in it like emergency grants, financial literacy training, internship opportunities. What is your take on that plan?
I'm really glad you brought it up, because I think there are a lot of people who are surprised to hear me say I like it. And I like it because it includes some very fine policy ideas, including those that my and my team have been working together on for the last couple of years. Emergency financial aid is an innovation. It's an innovation that says the current financial aid system often delivers money sort of too late or at the wrong timing for students, and doesn't catch them when, for example, the car broke down and they don't have quite enough money to fix it. so they don't come to class. This is something a lot of folks have been looking at over time, and I was really glad to see Governor Walker include that in his proposals. Now, do I wish that, for example, he was looking at models that would include making public higher education less expensive overall and raising financial aid more substantially? Of course. But I don't harbor those expectations given his stated goals and policy decisions to date. So I think this was a very reasonable proposal, and I came out immediately in support of it.
As we wrap up, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I read that you're thinking about leaving UW for another out-of-state offer. As you weigh that decision, what kinds of things are you thinking about in terms of kind of what went wrong and maybe pieces you were disillusioned with and pieces you would be sad to leave?
You know, to be honest, I mean, what I think about are those Wisconsin students and families. I have spent an enormous amount of time over the last decade getting to know this state, both through my research and my teaching, as well as raising two young children here. I love this place. I intended to remain here until I retired. I am no longer thinking of doing so, and there is only one reason for it, and that is Act 55, which was passed last summer. I remember the moment it was announced on May 29th. It was a stunning moment when I realized that a state that had invested so much in its public higher education system was going to allow for it to be undermined by removing the protections for its educators.
Sarah,
and that is, in fact, what's happened.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Sarah Goldrick-Rabb of UW-Madison and founder of the Wisconsin Hope Lab on college affordability.
Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. Food Friday is next after the news.